This is the Greater Salt Lake Municipal Services District Board of Trustee meeting, April 26, 2023, at 6 o'clock p.m.
All right, I'm Chairman Joe Smolka, and we are here for Salt Lake, Greater Salt Lake Municipal Service District Board meeting. If those in the room would join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Tabitha. Were there any public comments that came in?
There were no public comments.
And is there any public comment that needs to come up now? Okay, guess not. All right, Marla, the meeting minutes.
Did we have any? April 12th?
April 12th.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's right there. It says on my sheet.
Do we have do we have any corrections that need to be made to those minutes? Okay, looking for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve the minutes of the April 12, 2023 board meeting.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, those stand approved. All right, Stuart, you're on for a discussion of fraud risk.
Yes. Good evening, board. So each year we have to do what's called a fraud risk assessment, and we're getting this on the screen right now. One minute. We're just trying to get this on the screen. So this form is what's provided by the state, and it allows us to basically analyze our risk for fraud. Like I said, this is mandatory and something we do every year. So based on this assessment, it gives a score. The higher the score, the less of a risk of fraud that you have. The total possible score is 395, and we are at 365. Anything above 355 is considered a very low risk. So essentially, we are considered low risk for fraud. And this has to be presented to the board once a year. So next year, we'll be doing another assessment and present it to you as well. So I think we're in a good place, and we have a low risk for fraud. Any questions?
Excellent.
That's great.
Good work.
Thank you.
All of you. Because that's a team effort. That's not one person. Thank you. All right. Discussion of the bylaws. I left mine sitting on the counter. No. Does anyone have any changes that we need to make to the bylaws?
I didn't have any, Joe.
Okay. I had a couple of minor things, and I can't remember them off the top of my head. I will send them to Mark, but they were pretty minor things. Then I can put them in language, and we can distribute the language before the next board meeting, and everybody can look at it. Sounds good. So if anybody comes up with anything, get them to Mark in the next couple of weeks so he can adjust those. All right. I'm sorry about that. I got a call on a plug to Culvert right as I was walking out of the house, and so I kind of left in a hurry. So, Lori, item number 7, discussion on justice courts.
Awesome. Thank you.
I just wanted to give you an update on where we are right now from the county council's position on what we've approved for the budget for the justice courts. Okay, I'm just going to pull that up really quickly. Hold on, let me grab that. A couple weeks ago, there was a request by the justice court to eliminate the contra account that we have right now. It's a $1.3 million contra account. We actually chose not to eliminate that. We still have the contra account there. We have actually reduced that account to $900,000 on the council side. That provides the justice court an additional $400,000, which will ensure adequate funding until June. And then the ongoing budget needs for the remainder of the year would then be reviewed as part of the mid-year budget, and we'll take care of it at that point as we get to that point. I know that there was a meeting, wasn't part of it, with our current council chair, between the judge and the council chair. There was a request that we let her know kind of what the council's thoughts are and what they're going to do with the justice court going forward. So she sent a letter back, and I'm going to give you that and language on that letter really quickly as well. And her letter just basically reads this: thanks for reaching out to follow up from our previous conversation. After speaking with my colleagues, the council is still continuing down the path to close the court. We've allocated funds for operations for the court through this year and would recommend you stay within that budgeted amount for any hiring needs. There's not an appetite to expand those funds for additional FTEs or another part-time judge. Considering Mill Creek has left, that's probably no longer something you are considering. Hope this helps. And that's from Amy. That's Councilwoman Winder Newton. For those who don't know, Mill Creek has given their notice that they're leaving the Justice Court. That will take place July 1st. This is going to be a transition period during that time frame. They are now contracting with Holiday, and that's where that is right now. So, that transition will start on July 1st. So, I do know that because of that, some of those expenses that they're viewing are going to go down as well. I know when there was a conversation, and I'm giving it 2 second hand because I wasn't in the meeting, but the judge had asked and said that she thought she needed another part-time judge, as well as to hire two people, because I understand that Mr. Calbert, Mr. Calbert is, correct me, is it the end of this month that you will be leaving?
Yeah, I'm going to be on a temporary position there to help out.
Okay. And so she said that she needed to hire two more FTEs to take his position, one for HR and one for finance. And the council, upon looking about that and understanding everything that's going to go on right now, didn't think that was a good idea and suggested that maybe instead of doing that, they contract that out and let us know what those costs might be. We think that being less expensive than actually having to hire somebody for both those positions in an office of about, was it 35 people? Is that roughly what you guys have in there?
No, we don't have 35 people. There is 10.
Oh, 10. Sorry. An office of 10 people. So there you go. Boy, I was very off. Sorry about that. But an office of, an office of 10 people. So that was our suggestion back. And I don't know if she has communicated that to the judge on that part of it or not. If not, there will be a letter coming forward on that as well. So, the other thing I wanted to bring up is we've been looking at the costs associated with this. There were some questions when we went through on the numbers that were given us, and so I'm going to pull that up really quickly as well. Our staff did some research, and here we go. And I'll forward you these three things so that everybody has it. Okay, here it is. Because of the information that was given us, our council staff took a really strong look. Our budgeting staff, we have two budget staff, plus we had the mayor's budget staff also take a look at what was there. They suggested that when they looked at the budget, they needed to dig a little bit deeper, so they were going to make a phone call at that point. The numbers that were given us on personnel weren't matching what was in SABA when we pulled those numbers, and so they needed to understand where those numbers were coming from a little bit better. And so I know that they are going to reach out to the Justice Court on that as well, so just know that that's coming. That was just given to me. And so we'll need to know how those numbers were come up with, because they aren't matching what we were able to pull from our HR information. So there's just some questions that we need still answered moving forward as we get ready to prepare for the June budgets. So we wanted to let the staff know and kind of report to everybody else where we are budget-wise and what we've approved on the council side, because it also affects what we pay on the MSD side. So that's the report right now. And any questions?
Okay.
That's a lot of information, I know.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Steve, it's always nice to know that it takes two people to replace you. Trent, Planning and Development Services report.
Swallow the mic, right? Good evening. Chairman and trustees. So I wasn't able to give this report last month, so I've got a few things to talk about, just kind of an update of what we've been doing in Planning and Development Services. First of all, as you guys know, we've been working for quite a while on the update on the Comprehensive Land Use Ordinance rewrite of Titles 18 and 19, and I just want to give a shout out to our staff. This has been a lot of work, and it took a lot of teamwork between current planners, long-range planners, between you guys, the communities, between the attorneys, councils, and just a lot of external and internal reviewers. And so it's been kind of awesome to watch that collaboration and to watch it kind of come to kind of finally close to the end, and the staff being able to do it amongst all their other duties. But it's pretty cool, and some of you guys are already aware of this, but Kearns and Magna have adopted their updated Titles 18 and 19. White City is going to have a public hearing, I believe, on the 27th to consider it as they move forward. Copperton is also looking at considering that at their next council meeting. So that's moving forward as we get these ordinance updated. Another thing we've been working on, Immigration Canyon is going to be holding, as you know, a public hearing on the dark sky ordinance, which is kind of a cool thing. It's the first dark sky ordinance for any of the members, and kind of a cool thing. So we're excited to see the progress that's been made on that and what that's going to do for their community. In Magna, we've adopted a downtown historic mixed use zone along kind of the main street corridor, which included 90 properties in the historic downtown area. That was a kind of a cool project as well that I know Magna is excited about, and we were excited about some of those changes to kind of re-energize that area and give some opportunities hopefully there for the future. Brighton, last time I was here, it was about a couple of months ago, and talking, they had applied for a grant for a nodes design plan for their community. They actually received that grant, and so they will be moving forward on this, and this is going to focus on land use and design, especially around mobility hubs from the BC, Big Cottonwood Canyon map, to enhance their internal connections and sense of space. So that'll be a cool thing for Brighton. Kearns was selected for the U.S. Department of Transportation Thriving Communities Program. And that was kind of a big deal too. It's they, from what we heard, only 20% of the total applicants were selected, and Kearns was the only municipality in Utah to be accepted into that program. So that's pretty cool there too. And so we look forward to using that program to kind of advance their transportation goals and share insights with some of the other communities as we move forward with that. Copperton's kicked off its active transportation plan with a steering committee meeting that they had and a walking, they're going to have a steering committee meeting and a walking tour on April 25th. Kearns is launching a town center visioning project, and they plan to host a business block party and invite some of the members, and so some exciting things going there. Magna has also completed its design of the Mantle Park, and construction will begin later this year. And the long-range planners have posted actually their summer intern, one summer intern position, and have already received several applications, because there's a lot of projects still that I know a lot of you guys want in your communities, and so they've got a lot on their table that they're working on, and they're pretty excited about that. In the building department, you guys know it's been very, very busy. There's a lot of building going on. We've had a lot of new single family homes, townhomes, and apartment complexes that continue to be proposed and moving forward towards building permits and things like that. Just as an update, we had one plans examiner position that was vacated last month, and then the board approved another plans examiner position. We were actually able to hire both of those positions, fill both of them. One with an internal staff that we're really excited about. She was one of our permit techs, and she will be starting on, she officially starts Monday. We've already started the training with her and working with her. That's Mike Alina, who's moving into that. And then we were able to hire a gentleman who's got 6 of the 8 certifications already for the building code, and who is fluent in Spanish, actually, who's going to be coming over. He starts in about a week and a half, so we're excited about that addition to the building team that will be able to enhance what we're doing kind of with the community there. I've encouraged the building department, with kind of the infusion of those two new staff members, to relook at how they're using those people between plan review and inspections, and maybe see if there's a more efficient way they can do that based on the personnel they have. So we may be making some internal adjustments just to make it more efficient, but we are excited about that. That does, however, create a vacant position for a permit tech. We've already posted that, and we're working forward to get that filled with Mike Alina moving. On kind of our grading, floodplain, and stormwater, Alex Radowski, who took the kind of the management position of that, started Monday officially, and we're super excited about kind of the energy he's already bringing to that. He's already jumped in working on reviewing and evaluating some of our processes of that team, such as the floodplain development permits, grading reviews, MS4 compliance. In fact, Alex and I went to a 4-hour training this morning with the state on floodplain development permits and some of the things that need to be done there. But he's jumping right in, and I'm pretty excited about some of the things that he's going to be bringing there. He's reached out to some of our external partners and working towards those things. Code enforcement has also been busy, and they are already looking towards weed season. I know it's the unfun time of the year, but they know it's around the corner, so they are kind of gearing up for that. It looks like we're going to be fortunate enough to have Brian Beck be able to come back and be our temporary weeds enforcement officer this year. And I don't know if you're familiar with Brian, but he actually was a code enforcement officer for many, many years with the county, and he retired. And we were able to get him to be our weed enforcement last year, and he's agreed to come back again this year, and that makes it so we can jump in a whole lot quicker, because he knows the procedures and the processes and everything else, and so we can be a whole lot more efficient using him. So we're excited about that. The code enforcement team, they are also the other thing that they brought up is they're preparing letters actually right now to send out to property owners that have been issues in the past with weeds, kind of to preemptively warn them, I guess, or to engage them to hopefully prevent them from having to enforce some of those things, of just reminding them that weed season is coming up and they need to be vigilant on that. So they're kind of being proactive on that. And the code enforcement continues to work with the attorneys on Title 12 and some of the updates on that ordinance. In addition to that, as you well know, with the snowpack we've had this year and the snow loads and the flooding and different things that are coming on, we've obviously realized that there has been damage to some structures up the canyons. I think there will be, my guess is, more damage discovered as the snow continues to to melt, and there's some structures that are inaccessible right now that are not like full-time cabins, and as we discover those, there may be more damage. So the building department has already gone out. I know they've been in Immigration Canyon and tagged a couple of buildings and have been working with those property owners on what they need to do to kind of stabilize those and work towards getting building permits. Both the planning team and the building team have brought up, and we may be reaching out to some of the communities. We've reached out to I've had a brief discussion with Brighton about it already. That the challenge we may have on some of these damaged structures is that to rebuild in FCAS, as you know, can be a kind of a cumbersome process and time consuming. And so we're looking at maybe coming up with some proposals that we can present on maybe some streamlining when it's something that was damaged from either the snowpack or the flood on how we can streamline that to hopefully get people up and reconstructing as quickly as possible. So that is something we are already thinking about and working on. A couple of just other items that we've been working on. We continue to work on Centricity, which is the new public portal for applications. And we're working with Isabella's team to configure that and develop those and hopefully looking towards in the next few months going live with that. In addition to that, and this is Isabella, sorry Isabella, I'm taking Isabella's thunder, because it's her team really that's been working on this, but they're just about to launch a new guest checkout online that I'm super excited about. As the parking enforcement has been one of the big things, that it's been a little bit cumbersome for people to pay their tickets online. And we've noticed that as it's been our first time doing it, but they're just about to launch a new guest checkout that'll streamline that and make it easier for both the staff and for people trying to do that online. So that's kind of going to be a cool thing. And the last thing I just wanted to say is we are continuing, amongst all the other projects and things we're doing, we continue almost daily to put an emphasis on increasing our efficiencies, improving communications, both internal and external, and overall just looking at our processes on how we can improve them. And I've been pretty impressed with some of the teams have started having weekly training meetings where they're setting aside time, especially as we have some staff that is more developed in their career and we have newer people, of just getting that knowledge transfer across between those people and getting people more on the same page with consistency and things like that. Cleaning up our SOPs, and even having internal meetings between teams to make sure that sometimes that communication's happening. So I'm pretty excited about that. So just my last shout out to the staff, just that it's been, sometimes they are asked to do a lot, and that for the most part they're engaged and excited about doing it, and I'm thrilled to have them on board. So any questions?
That's a lot of stuff.
Okay. Let's move on. Oh, thanks. I'm going to sit right here because I'm next. I'm the next giant. You ready for my next item? He's ready. We're ready to rock and roll.
Yep, we'll talk about
this one. This one will probably be short. So, kind of I'm coming to kind of ask for an adjustment, as we want to take we have one current part-time long-range planner position, and we want to make that a full-time position. We've kind of recognized that, again, those long-range planners have a lot of projects they're working on, and they've been using that part-time planner as much as they can to kind of help fill gaps, but they've realized that they need a little bit more capacity there that may be better filled by somebody who's permanent than sometimes. We have those interns in the summer, but sometimes those, we're training them, we're trying to get them up to speed, and they're only there for a couple of months and then gone. And so what we're requesting is, we currently have budgeted 3 summer intern positions. We want to take 2 of those and eliminate them and take that funding to make the part-time long-range planner position full-time. And we anticipate that will, to take that funding, it'll still take an increase of around $4,000 to make that adjustment between the salary and the benefits. Any questions on that?
So we're good on, Stuart's nodding his head that we're good on the money on that.
That's correct, yes. So,
any questions on that for Trent? Okay, looking for a motion?
I'll make a motion that we move towards the two long-range planners full-time, and it's only one intern.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Thank you. I appreciate the support.
Thank you, Trent. Make it happen.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Chair. I really want to thank Trent for his amazing ability to be on his feet, and anytime he gets a call about an issue, he's got it studied up before the next day is over. So we really appreciate your efforts, and you're really amazing.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm not always there, but I'm trying. So, and with that, if you guys have anything, and I know most of you are, but yeah, always feel free to reach out to me.
Thank you.
Thanks, thank you.
Trent. Marla, discussion and possible action on performance bonuses, and we are going to table that.
Well, we are. Let me give you a little bit of a background as to why we're doing that. As we took a step back and actually looked at our succession plan, our salary comparison, compensation review, we also realized one of the steps that's very important is doing an audit of our, our classifications of our employees. So we met this week with Rachel Anderson and went over what our dilemma is, what our concerns are. And she reviewed the four classifications as presented by the Department of Labor. She has the job descriptions for, I would say, the majority of the employees here. And of course, we've put it in groups, things that are similar. She's gonna do that analysis and come back. And first off, we wanna determine that our classifications between exempt and non-exempt, because I think that may open the door to have this problem solved. Meaning if they are non-exempt employees, we may have to reconsider overtime, but we want to make sure we have all our ducks in a row before we move forward with that. Trent has been doing a lot of research as part of this process. He's reached out to other cities and towns within the valley, asked them how they approach their overtime issue and their compensation challenges based upon potential overtime. And so we think we've got an answer for that. Basically, people have to get it approved. If they work without approval, then they and get hit with a written reprimand. Thanks. So before we want to go any further on this item, we want to do this review with Rachel.
Okay, great. So, well, as far as the board's concerned, we table this for this meeting. Okay, next is general manager report.
I first want to start with Stuart. Stuart's been working very diligently and on the audit, so if you can give an update.
Yes, so we are working through the audit with Squire, and we are hoping to have a preliminary report in our May 24th board meeting. When they will be here to present it and take any questions from the board regarding the audit. And that will give us enough time to have the council members take it back to their councils and have them view it to see if there's any questions or anything before we post it to the state website, which is due by June 30th. So that's where we're at right now.
Brian, did you have anything you want to report on tonight?
Were you going to mention the ETC 20 training that we participated in?
You had mentioned it, but yeah, I was, but go ahead.
Okay, April 14th, so a couple of days after our last board meeting, members of Salt Lake County Public Works Engineering, our contracted partner, and MSD employees, close to 30 employees received the FEMA ATC 20, which is the post-earthquake safety evaluation of buildings. Trent could tell you a lot more about this, as he and his team went through a crash course right after the Magna earthquake. But this was a refresher training for them, as well as initial training for many more of us to augment our ability to perform these assessments in the event of an earthquake. The state Department of Emergency Management is looking to have, I forget the number, over 1,000 in the state, and so they were glad to get 20 some odd additions to their list of ATC 20 certified building assessors. So just wanted to report on that.
And we might have a load of work coming up our way. There's actually one called ACT 45 that deals with wind and flooding, which has a lot of the same principles that we're gonna look at and finish those courses too, which would be very beneficial at this time. For the rest of the board, Brian and I did a presentation to ACCT on Saturday. We prepared a lot more information than we had time to deliver. One of the things that came to mind that I think we need to take this down to the community so they really have a greater understanding as to the type of work we do, but the volume of work we do. I don't think people really appreciate, especially in Trent's area, the volume of work that is done. And some of those areas. So I didn't get a chance, we didn't have a chance to go over our accomplishments from 2022 or go over our goals for 2023. But regardless, we're seeing, I am very proud of our team over here, our planning development team. They, I would say they're really, I shouldn't say stepped it up, but they're really meeting all the challenges that they have, and the team's working very well together, and there's a lot of good energy there. In addition, I wanted to report that James Burton took over these, was appointed the senior GIS analyst. We have advertised for the GIS analyst position, and Isabel, how many applications have we had so far?
I would say about 20, and we have 4 interviews scheduled for next week.
So that's very, very helpful considering how difficult it was a few years ago to hire anyone. Our leadership group continues to meet. In fact, we're wrapping up on our first group, and we'll be starting the new group. You're starting what, in July?
September.
Oh, we're doing September now. One of the things, as they reported previously, is we are looking at doing our APPAs and actually refining. One of the things that Isabella had us do in our last leadership is actually develop our department's vision and mission, and it was very nice to see that all of our mission as in our vision as we work together supports the overall vision of the organization, and we'll move forward with that. I don't have anything else.
Okay, thank you. Any other Metro Township business or MSD business needs to come before the board? Any future agenda items?
I just have an announcement.
Go ahead.
On May the 20th, we're going to have our first swap at Bear Park. It runs from 9 to 2 p.m. So come out and have fun.
Okay. I'm not aware of any reasons for closed sessions tonight, so looking for a motion.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. See you, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're getting pretty good at these 30-minute meetings.
I know. I'm like.
Well.
Last week was.